Good morning. It is good to see you here. Thank you for coming and worshiping with us this morning. If you are visiting, we're so glad that you've chose Lock Haven Baptist Church to come and to visit with us this morning and worship with us this Sunday morning. We're glad that you're here. I have a few little commercial things before we get to the message this morning. Brother Jim already mentioned the Christmas for our community children. There are some flyers up here on the front row that give you more information about what we're doing. We did this last year. You'll sponsor a child for $6, and then we will get that into our bus route, and those kids that are coming and riding our buses to church, you can be a blessing to them and to help them know that there is somebody here at the church that does care for them. So if you can help with that, that'd be a blessing. And then we have two items of invitation tools that you might use for the fall. We have a postcard. It's up here as well. It says you are invited. Nice, colorful information on the back. And then we have our fall tracks. I tell you, church, we had a good turnout yesterday for our community visitation time. We went out and did a couple of communities and worked in there getting information to them. But this is another nice tool. All it is a tool to give you information, to hand someone, to be able to leave somewhere, to invite them to the church. You'd be surprised how many people does not know that our church is even here. 65 years next month. It's been on this here piece of property, but our demographics have changed completely. And unless you're coming out of Osceola County, headed to Orange County, we're kind of in a little corner stuck down here that nobody really knows about. So use these tools, get them out there, get the information to the people that you meet. And if you're visiting today for the first time or returning visitor, again, thank you for being with us this morning. What a blessing it is to have you be with us. And we have several that are out, either traveling or sick or working. So be in prayer for those that could not be here today. And you notice over here on my pew, the kids last week from the younger classes made some cards for me and came up and took a selfie with me. And so I think the teenagers must have got a little jealous. So they made cards, and I want to show you this is me. I'm a minion. We appreciate you very much. And on the inside, they drew the three deacons. This one's Brother Lee. This one's Brother Bernie. This one's Brother David. There. So, teenage class made this one, the junior teens. And the senior teens made this one. And this is me preaching. And they made here on the front two pews. There's 13 people in the pews. Who knows the significance of that? What is it, Riley? 7 years ago, there were 13 members here. And so they made that one with the three deacons up here towards the front. There's 13 total people. And they're not going to let me get by unless they get their Facebook selfie. Come on up, teenagers. Let's go. Let's get it done. Tell you, this is what church is all about. You got to give to these kids their heart. And they love you. They will show it. They'll be faithful, and they will grow up to be good, godly Christians and help around the church. Y'all smile. A few more. I see a few more cameras. Keep looking.
I will not embarrass the ladies' Sunday school class and ask them to come up and give get a picture, but they gave me a card also with a gift inside, and it says, "We're special with special thanks. Being good-hearted is second nature to you, so you may not even realize how your small gestures and many kindness touch so many people. You're generous without even thinking about it. And that's an uncommon gift from the ladies' Sunday school class." Thank you, ladies. It is a blessing to be your pastor and to be a part of your lives and to see God working through you and adding to our family, our church family, every servicing. More and more people getting involved and Most churches, it's 80% people just sitting around and 20% doing all the work. But I tell you, church, I see 100% of effort. And thank you very much for the meals that you've provided during this month of October. I know it's Pastor Appreciation Day. And other people have gave individual cards. I don't want to leave you out, but thank you very, very much. Now, this morning we have a special guest. We have the Owens family. And if we could, Brother Owens, is it possible to get your two little girls out of the nursery? And honey, will you get them and bring them just for a moment? And y'all come on up. She'll get them. We got something from the church we want to present to the Owens family. They're missionaries headed to Georgia, and they will be leaving the 1st of November? November 30th. And we've got something we'd like to present to them here, and then we're going to turn it over to him and let him get busy sharing a little bit about the ministry there. And then preaching for us here.
Lockheed Baptist Church, Ms. Owens, and we want to say thank you for traveling, going on. Now, this was for the baby. We don't know what to do for a baby.
And Isabella,
where are you at? There you go. And this is Michaela. Brother Bernie, could you get a picture of that, please?
Y'all give them a good hand of welcome.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for that. And my kids enjoy that. And later, Isabella, if you stop by and meet her, that's the first one there. My pastor said she'll talk your ear off. And it'd be good for you to stop by and see her. That way she talks a little bit to you. And then maybe later she won't talk so much to me. It's okay, except when you're driving down the road for 8 hours. And that's all you hear. After a while, it gets a little bit old. I thank God for my family, and I'll introduce them to you. My wife's name is Carla, and then the baby she's holding is Natanya. Natanya is 2.5 months old, and then, of course, Isabella is the oldest. She'll be 3 in November, and then Michaela, who is 1 year old, and the Lord's been a blessing, been good to us, and just blessed us with 3 beautiful daughters. Of course, I wanted a boy, and so all 3 of them, I'm thinking this one's going to be my boy, and it hasn't happened yet, and I'm starting to feel outnumbered, so I'm not sure if I want to keep going or not, but I really want my boy. And but we're excited to be here this morning. As Pastor said, we're missionaries to the Republic of Georgia, and that is not the state of Georgia. And so if your mind went north a little bit and you started thinking about peaches, you went the wrong direction. And the Republic of Georgia is a former Soviet country, and it's located between Russia and Turkey. And it's a rather small country, about the size of the state of Maine. They have about 5.5 million people living there, and the Lord called us there as church planting missionaries. Now, if you're visiting with us, or maybe you don't normally come back on Sunday evenings, I'm going to encourage you to come back tonight. And you can, if there's your favorite football team is playing tonight or whatever, don't worry about it. You can tape it. You can watch it later. But you want to come back to church tonight. Tonight we'll show our DVD presentation, and I'll share more with you about this great field. But I'll just share a little bit this morning. Lord called us as church planting missionaries. And people ask us all the time, why do you call yourself a church planting missionary? Most of the time people just say, I'm a missionary. Well, when I started traveling, I realized really quickly that a lot of people call themselves a missionary. But biblically, I don't know if they could really call themselves a biblical missionary. And when I went out to the Bible and I began to study what a missionary is supposed to do and be, I began to look at the life of the Apostle Paul. It was a great, we learned about a little bit about him in Sunday school today, but he was one of the greatest missionaries that ever lived. And we can learn so much from the Apostle Paul. But several things that we notice about the Apostle Paul is that when the Apostle Paul went somewhere on his missionary journey, the first thing he did when he came into a new place, a new village, a new city, was he preached the gospel. And when we go throughout the Bible, we find the preaching the gospel is a command that's given to every Christian. It's not just given to the pastor or to the missionary or those of us who are called into the ministry. The command to preach the gospel is given to every Christian. If you're sitting out here this morning and you know for sure you're on your way to heaven, the minute you accepted Christ as your Savior, you are giving the command to go into all the world and preach the gospel. So if you're sitting there this morning, you're thinking, man, I'm waiting for God to call me to preach the gospel. You don't have to wait any longer. He's already commanded you to. And so that's our job. And that's one thing that the Apostle Paul did. So we're going to do the same thing that we do here in the United States. When we arrive in Georgia, we're going to do the same thing. We're going to preach the gospel, just like we do here. And then for those who receive Christ as their Savior, we're going to disciple them. That means we're going to train them. We're going to teach them the Bible. We're going to teach them the commands of God. We're going to train nationals. And then we're going to plant churches. If you notice one thing when you read the Bible and you read about the Apostle Paul, is that when the Apostle Paul left a place to go to a new place, he always left a church there. He always left a church. Sometimes it was a group of people that were meeting in a house. But he always left a church. And I believe biblically, if we're going to fulfill the Great Commission, if we're going to fulfill Christ's last command to the church, we have to go and we have to plant churches. And so we're going over there to plant churches. And we're going to train nationals to pastor those churches. And our goal is to plant churches throughout the Republic of Georgia. We believe from the Scripture that God's work is done through the local church. And that's why we're here this morning presenting our work to a local church. Because God's work is done through the local church, and if we're going to reach Georgia, we're going to have to get churches planted there. We're excited about it, and we're excited to be with you this morning. Let me thank you for having us, and thank you for being here this morning. If you want to take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Now, not a lot of people know about Georgia, and so you'll want to come back tonight. We'll share with you a little bit more about it, about the country itself, a little bit of its history. And where we are going, we've been traveling. We're coming up on 22 months of traveling, and we'll be leaving November 30th. And so just under 2 years of raising support to get to Georgia. And we're excited about that. Lord's been good in that area and has blessed us. And we've raised 97% of our support. And so we're just finishing up our last few percent, and then we're headed over there, and we're going to get busy. First, got to learn the language and those types of things and get busy preaching the gospel and winning people to Christ. And Georgian people are primarily Orthodox, and that's a very controlling religion. And the secondary religion, of course, is Muslim. And so you've got two very controlling religions there in the country. But we're just going to go over there and we're going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, the truth. And John 8:32 tells us the truth shall make you free. And so we're going to go over there, we're going to preach the truth, and watch as the truth sets people free as they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. If you have your place, I'd invite you to stand with me out of respect for the reading of God's word. If you're able to do so, I invite you to do so. Please stand with me. And we're just going to read, I'll read here just the first five verses of 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 here this morning. And I noticed as we were sitting there singing this morning, I forgot to put my watch on. So if I go overtime, it's not my fault. I'm joking, okay? There's no clock over there. But 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, we do to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." Let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer here this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for another morning to come to your house. Lord, another Sunday to be alive. And Lord, I thank you for these people that are faithful. They're here this morning, Lord, because they want to hear some preaching from your word. They didn't come this morning to hear from the missionary, to hear from me. They came here to hear from you. So this morning I pray as your word is preached, Lord, that you would speak through me and that you would empty me of myself and that the people here this morning would hear preaching from your word. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd give each and every individual person sitting in the pews this morning something that they need, something that can help them in their life here this morning. We thank you in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I love 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 and 9. And this is where we find, of course, missions given. We find the Apostle Paul teaching about missions to the church of Corinth. And I'm not going to focus on missions giving here this morning. We're just going to look at these first five verses. But I love this passage of Scripture because we find the Apostle Paul dealing with the church of Corinth. And he's writing them a letter. And the first seven chapters, he's dealing with some things that are going on in the church of Corinth. But he gets to chapter number 8. And in verse number 1, and he starts to talk about the churches that are in Macedonia. You ever notice sometimes when the preacher's preaching, he'll be giving you an illustration, and he'll be trying to get a point or a principle across, something from the Word of God, and it's like people are not getting what he's trying to say. And so the preacher sometimes, he will use what we call an illustration. He'll use an example. He'll start talking about something that happened to him in his life or something that happened to another church that he knows about. And he tries to give us an example of that principle to help us understand. That's kind of what the Apostle Paul is doing here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. He's writing a letter to the church of Corinth, and he's going to use the churches of Macedonia as an example to teach the church of Corinth something. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1, the Bible says this: "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." So he starts off in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, and he starts off telling us that God is bestowing his grace on the churches of Macedonia. So the first thing we learn about these churches that are in Macedonia is that God is bestowing his grace on them. Now, I'm a member of Westside Baptist Church in Pacifica, California. Do not hold that against me, but I'm from California. And I'm a member of that church. That's the church that's sending us to Georgia to be missionaries. And so I love my church in California. And I desire for God to bestow his grace on my church. I just do. Now, I want God to bestow his grace on all churches. I want God, every church that is biblical and believes the Word of God and is preaching the Word of God, I desire for God to bestow his grace on those churches too. But I have a little extra desire for God to bestow his grace on my church. And I would say, I asked you to raise your hand in here today, that each and every one of you sitting in these pews desires for God to bestow his grace on your church. The churches of Macedonia, we learn that God is bestowing his grace on them. Then we get to verse number 2. He says this: "How then in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality." We find in verse number 2, I want to point out two things about the churches of Macedonia. The first thing you notice in verse 2 is the Bible says, "How that in a great trial of affliction." The first thing we learn in verse 2 about the churches of Macedonia is that they're going through a great trial of affliction. I grew up in a Christian home, and my dad is a pastor. And so I grew up in a pastor's home. I'm a preacher's kid. So I've been going to church since before I was born. And I, growing up in church, have been in the church when the church has gone through a trial of affliction. I have been there when the church has gone through a hard time. I have been there when the world afflicts the church. I have been there when sometimes people who shouldn't be and who should know better afflict the church. I have been there when the church goes through a hard time. But we learn in verse number 1 that God is bestowing his grace on these churches. And we learn in verse number 2 that they're going through a great trial of affliction. And by the way, this is not the sermon, but let me just throw this out there. Just because a church goes through a hard time does not mean that God is not there bestowing his grace. It was not that many years ago, the pastor told me that there's 13 people sitting in these pews. Now look at the church today. Tell me that God was not bestowing his grace. Amen. It doesn't matter what the church goes through. God will bestow his grace if we'll follow the example of the churches in Macedonia. We're going to look there in just a minute. But first thing you notice is they're going through a great trial of affliction. We keep reading that in that verse. The Bible says, "How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded." Not only were they going through a great trial of affliction, but the Bible tells us their deep poverty abounded. They were having financial trouble in the church. You ever been in a church where the church goes through financial trouble? Yeah, I've been there. It seems like every church, at one time or another, some of them at several different times, goes through financial trouble. The churches of Macedonia were no different than the churches today. They were going through a great trial of affliction. They were having financial trouble. Their deep poverty abounded. It seems like anything that could go wrong in the church, was going wrong for the churches of Macedonia. We get to verse number 3, and we find some action in the churches of Macedonia. Look here. He says, "For to their power I bear record. Yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves." You say, what do you mean? You're talking about action here. In verse number 3, the Apostle Paul is talking about the giving that the churches of Macedonia were giving. If we go back to Romans chapter 15, and we're not going to go there for time's sake, but you can write it down and look at it later. In Romans 15 and verse 25 and 26, the Bible tells us that the churches of Macedonia were making a contribution for the poor saints which were at Jerusalem. They were giving to help the poor saints which were in Jerusalem. They were giving. They were giving. Here's a church that's going through a great trial of affliction. Here's a church that's having financial trouble. The Bible tells us their deep poverty is bounding. And yet we find in verse 3, we find them giving for to their power. I bear record. They're giving to their power. Yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. Now let's go down to verse number 5, if you would. It says, "And this they did not as we hoped." The Apostle Paul is saying they gave more than he hoped for them to give. You see, he knew they were a poor church. And so when they were going to give to help the poor saints at Jerusalem, he wasn't expecting much from them. But they did more than he hoped. "This they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." I want to look at that phrase right in the middle of verse number 5. The Bible says they first gave their own selves to the Lord. Here's a church that is going through a great trial of affliction. Here's a church that their deep poverty is abounding, and yet they're still giving to their power, and they're still willing to step out by faith and give beyond their power. Here's a church that's going through great difficulty, and yet is still giving for the work of the Lord. And we find in verse number 1 that God is bestowing His grace upon this church. And I ask myself, why is God still bestowing His grace upon a church that seems like it's over? That seems like it's going through so much trouble that it could close its doors and nobody would probably even notice. Why? And I found the answer, and we find the answer in verse number 5. The Bible says they first gave their own selves to the Lord. I want to look at that phrase right there. Number one, I want you to notice the Lord was first in the churches of Macedonia. It does not matter where you go in Scripture, whether you go to the Old Testament or you go to the New Testament, you will find a common theme throughout the entire Bible. And that common theme is Christ first. We have lost this in our churches in America today. For some reason, we have lost this thing of keeping Christ first. We think if we get a beautiful choir and we get a beautiful orchestra and we redecorate the building and we do this and we make it about everything else but Christ, people will come and the church will be successful. But that's not what the church is really about. The church is about Christ. Amen. And the church ought to be all about Christ. Amen. When the choir sings, it ought to be about who? Christ. Everything that the church does ought to be about Christ. As I travel around, I knock on doors and I visit for my church and I invite people to church and I tell people about church. I desire for people not to know the name of my church. When people hear the name of my church in my city, you know, you're in Orlando, Lock Haven Baptist Church. When somebody hears the name Lock Haven Baptist Church in Orlando, do they think about beautiful buildings, beautiful choirs, beautiful this, beautiful that? Or do they think Jesus Christ? When people hear the name of our church, the first thing that should come to their mind is Jesus. Because the church is here to point people to Christ. It does not matter where we go in Scripture, we find that common theme. Matthew 6:33 tells us, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Seek ye what? First the kingdom of God. You know, you go to the Old Testament, we all love the Ten Commandments. I love the "thou shalt not kill" commandment because I really don't want anybody killing me. "Thou shalt not kill." We love the Ten Commandments. You know what the first Ten Commandment is? "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." You know what that is? That's keeping Christ first. God's dealing with the children of Israel. He's giving them the Ten Commandments, and the first command He gives them is, "Hey, I'm first." You know, it's really hard to break those other 9 commandments if we do the first one.
A lot of things we struggle with in our life, it all always kind of comes back to us not having Christ first in our life. Christ has got to be first. And if there's one thing we notice about the church of the Macedonia in this passage, is that Christ was first in that church. Christ was first to those members of that church. Christ was first. They first gave their own selves to the Lord. I want you to notice here in this passage, he says they first gave their, in these next two words, he says their own selves. I want you to notice here that the Apostle Paul individualizes this statement. If you look around the room today, you'll notice that the church is made up of individuals. Have you ever noticed that? The church is made up of individuals. It's made up of individual members. And so sometimes it's easy for us to look at our church and say, yes, Christ is first in our church. But is Christ first in every individual's life? Have you given your own self to the Lord? Your own self. Have we stopped worrying about the person sitting across the pew from us? And have we given ourselves to the Lord? I grew up in church, I told you that. And I've been there. You know, the preacher's preaching a great message. And we're looking across the pew and across the aisle. And we're looking at somebody way down there. And we're looking at them and saying, yeah, that's for you. Are you listening? And we're worried about everybody else in the auditorium getting what the preacher is preaching about that morning. Instead of saying, hey, what do I need to work on this morning? What's he preaching about? That's for me this morning. We're worried about everybody else. Let me ask you this. Have you given your own self to the Lord? When I read this passage of Scripture, I'm reminded of a little boy in Sunday school. It was fifth and sixth grade Sunday school class. And it was Mission Sunday at the church. And every Sunday school class had a different missionary on feature. And this particular fifth and sixth grade boys class had a missionary that was going through a hard time and had a need. And so the boys and the teacher in that class decided they were going to take an offering and send it to the missionary. And so after the class was over, they passed a little basket around. And the basket was going down the little chairs there. All the boys were reaching in their pockets, and they had dimes and nickels and quarters, and they're putting them in that basket. And there's a little boy sitting halfway back in the class, and he reached in his pockets. He had nothing in there. He was turning them inside out. The teacher said he took his shoes off. He was shaking them out. He was trying to find something to put in that offering plate. And the basket went by the little boy. He looked, and his face, he was just discouraged. He wanted to put something in that plate, but he had nothing to put in there. And all his friends that were sitting around him, they were putting stuff in. And the basket came out and sat down there in front of the podium. And the teacher prayed to close the class. And he said, when I got done praying, I looked up, and that little boy that had no money to put in the offering plate was sitting inside the plate. He went down, he said, son, what are you doing in that plate? The little boy looked up at his teacher and said, I didn't have anything else to give. So I'm giving myself. When's the last time you and I got in the offering plate? And I don't mean literally, the ushers would not appreciate that. But when's the last time we've given ourselves to the Lord? It's not enough to just give yourself. You say, well, 25 years ago, I came to church and I got right with the Lord and I gave myself to the Lord. It's not enough to give ourselves to the Lord once. Apostle Paul said, I die daily. Daily. There's sometimes I find myself having to die multiple times a day. Why? Because I constantly am in a battle with the flesh and with the devil and with the world. And I have to remind myself, I have to keep Christ first. Because the minute that Christ is not first in my life, the minute I'm not giving myself to Christ, I'm giving myself to something else. To something else. Let me ask you here today, have you given yourself to the Lord? Is the Lord first in your life? Notice here, he says they first gave their own selves to the, notice what it says here, Lord. There are so many things in this world that crave our attention. It seems like every day there's something else that wants our attention. There's something else. And I'm going to tell you something. The busier we get, sometimes we get so busy, and it seems like there's stuff, you know, the more you take on, the more you get to do. You know, I have this to-do list, and we're getting ready to leave November 30th. And so I have this to-do list. I have all kinds of paperwork I need, and you're moving overseas. You're not just moving to the next block or the next city. I mean, you're moving overseas. So I have this long to-do list. And I keep telling myself, you know, I got this one, you know, I crossed one out, I finished this one, but it seems like every time I do that, I have to write two or three more down at the bottom. You know, when I finish a task, I get more. It seems like in our life, the older we get and the more busy we get, guess what? The more busy we get. And the more we have to do. And the more that takes our attention. And if we're not careful, we give our attention to everything else in this world and we forget about what it's all really about. And it's all about Christ. Let me ask you here this morning. Is Christ first in your life? Have you given yourself to the Lord? Maybe you're sitting in here this morning and you don't know for sure that you're saved and on your way to heaven. Before you can even think about giving yourself for serving the Lord and giving yourself to the Lord, you're going to first have to get saved. You're going to first have to accept the Lord as your Savior. That's the first step. But maybe you're here this morning and you say, I know for sure I'm on my way to heaven. The Lord is my Heavenly Father, but there seems to be things in your life that is taking up your attention and Christ is not in His rightful place. Sometimes it's easy for us to look at our life and say, well, Brother Owen, I'm in church this morning. The Lord's first this morning, and I go to church, and I do this, and I do that. So therefore, the Lord must be first. And we kind of look at our life in an overview. But sometimes we need to stop and sit down and just look at our life. And we have to examine our life, and we have to ask, hey, is Christ first when it comes to my education? I'm all for a great education, but not at the cost of putting Christ on the back burner. I'm all for it. Is Christ first in your education? Is Christ first in your career? Is Christ first when it comes to your family? Is Christ first when it comes to your entertainment? Is Christ first when it comes to... The list just keeps going on and on and on. Let me ask you here this morning. Is Christ first? Have you given yourself to the Lord first? There's a lot of things that even are good things that we give ourselves to. But if we're not careful, we put those things before the Lord. That's a mistake. Christ has to be first. I think being a Sunday school teacher is a wonderful thing. But Sunday school teachers, don't give yourself to being a Sunday school teacher and teaching those students first. Give yourself to the Lord first. To the Lord. They first gave their own selves to the Lord. Lastly, I want to look at this and we'll close out this morning. The Bible says they first gave their own selves to the Lord. Now notice what he says here. And unto us by the will of God. You say, what is the Apostle Paul saying right there? The Apostle Paul is saying that the churches of Macedonia did not give themselves to the missionary, to the Apostle Paul, until they first gave their own selves to the Lord. I would love for Lock Haven Baptist Church to partner with my family and I to get the gospel to the Republic of Georgia. But before the church decides, hey, we're going to give ourselves to the Owens family, and we're going to get behind them, and we're going to support them. I desire for Lock Haven Baptist Church to give themselves to the Lord. And then only get behind us by the will of God. By the will of God. I don't know what Lock Haven Baptist Church is going through. I don't know what is coming for your future. Only the Lord knows that. I don't know if there's a trial ahead. I don't know if there's financial difficulties ahead. I don't know if there's going to be wonderful things ahead. I don't really know. The Lord knows. But I know this. If Lock Haven Baptist Church keeps the Lord first and above everything else, gives itself to the Lord, first and foremost, the Lord will continue to bestow His grace through those trials. I don't know what you're going to go through in your personal life, but I promise if you keep yourself and you give yourself to the Lord first, He'll continue to bless you through those trials. Christian, this morning, is Christ first in your life? Have you given yourself to the Lord first? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us would examine ourselves and we would ask ourselves, are you first in our life? And Lord, maybe there's someone in here this morning that is struggling with that. Lord, I pray this morning that we would get that right.
Lord, we thank you. I pray you bless this time of invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's all stand together. Our hymn of invitation will be 341. If you have a need, the altar is open. If your need this morning is to trust Christ as Savior, someone would be happy to take the Bible and show you from God's Word what that means and how you can be saved.